We have a dear brother going to be with us tonight, Brother Joe Carrizales. And he is a dear brother and a fine pastor and an old friend. And, you know, I heard somebody talking about you. And, brother, you know what they said? They said you were one of the finest Christian gentlemen they'd ever met. And I pray that's a good testimony, brother. Especially if it comes out of the mouth of a guy and cuts you to pieces. I mean, you know, and he says, that man's a real Christian gentleman. He's a real testimony for Christ. Been a real blessing to my life. I thank the Lord for you, Brother Joe. You've been a dear friend, and it's our privilege to have you to come be with us tonight. Now, we're going to have, I think, Brother Steve Hamrick and maybe some others will come sing for us. And after that special music, well, Brother Joe, you come bring the message God has on your heart. You're free, brother, whatever you feel led to do. Amen.
Amen. This is a privilege for me tonight to be here with you. I count it a great honor. I would caution you not to be expecting much from me. If I'm the last speaker, somebody make the wrong choice. I have a Spanish mentality. I can't put the gear on when I want to. And there's some words that just don't come. They don't come easy. So I just want to thank you for this honor, Brother Kate, and this beautiful congregation. I do have a great admiration for your pastor and count it a great joy to be counted up among his personal friends. I really feel like God has given us that closeness in the Lord, and I appreciate it. I wish we would have more time to fellowship, and yet if we cross our ways twice a year, that's about it. But one of these days, amen, I believe we'll have plenty of time for fellowship. Amen. Amen. And I thank God sincerely, honestly, for this congregation and for the fact that there are still a few around that are not only earnestly contending for the faith, but selflessly and untiring thrusting the gospel by all means available to reach the multitudes that are still unreached. I thank God for gatherings here at Okno. Amen. And if it's possible, I would, by proxy, dear congregation of Brother Kincaid, want to thank you for your concern in a special way for the Spanish world. I kind of conclude that even though that your heart goes out as the gospel instructs us to go to all the world, and yet in some way I can conclude that you've done some special focus on Spanish speaking, and I do want to thank the Lord. And I want to thank you for that tremendous effort. May I ask you to continue to pray for the radio project? We have, they have approved our call letters, KBIB, BIB for Bible. Amen. So, there's been opposition untold, delays, setbacks. I believe Brother Hutchison was somewhat sick today, carrying a tremendous load. There's new problems at every turn, and of course the need for funds to finish the project. And it all makes it an uphill battle, but I'm reminded that the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
So pray for Brother Hutchison and pray for Brother Jim Couch and all those that are involved in this desperately needed project. To think of beaming the gospel all in Spanish to hundreds of thousands of prospective listeners in San Antonio and around and beyond toward the south from sun up to sun down. Can you just imagine, amen, what it'll do? How desperately we need that pure gospel Christian voice. So you pray that God may grant the miracle of KBIB before sundown. Yes, I want to earnestly thank you also for your personal interest and your part in our ministry at Puerta La Hermosa here in San Antonio. I can appreciate our sister here say, well, I'm nervous. Well, I've been at it 36 years and I'm more nervous than you. So we just celebrated our 22nd anniversary there at Beautiful Gate. I know that numbers just might just get fixed into your mind, but yet it's just refreshing to just count the blessings.
Amen.
God gave us over 300 every one of the Sundays in May.
Amen.
491 the last Sunday of May.
Amen.
I guess we evangelized over 300 people, public professions of faith, and I guess we baptized a little over a dozen of them, and the Lord's been good. Brother Noyola also been pitching in, and we thank God because of the results that we've been able to reap out of his ministry over there and the projects. Amen. We thank God. We thank God for what this church stands for, what it does, and the impact it has on my life personally, and the results also in our church. So you pray for us that we might continue on, and that we also might be enabled to do more for missions. We thank God for the 30 or so missionaries that we partially help. We thank God for the $22,000 the Lord will enable us to raise again this year.
Amen.
For missions. You pray for our Vacation Bible School, which we'll be having next week, and we pray that God will help us reach 200, 250 children in this Vacation Bible School. It's a thrill when I go here and there, sometimes to some office or some bank or to the courthouse, and some young person will say, "Aren't you Brother Carrizales? How do you know me?" When I was a 6, 7, 8 year, 9, 10 year old boy, you used to pick me up in that old blue bus and take us to Vacation Bible School for 2 weeks. And now we got away, as all of them do somehow. But 2, 3, 4 years ago, the Lord found me.
Amen.
And now I'm going to this church. I'm going to the other church. They're in the gospel. And the work of the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
Work of the Lord is not in vain. And we thank God. You pray that many of these parents don't get in the way. We used to, Brother Kincaid, way back in those years when we didn't have more sense. We would bring 400 kids for Sundays for Vacation Bible School. Now we got smarter. Since we can handle 400, we go for it because we're smarter now. But you know how it goes. At any rate, it would just, and it still breaks our heart. Many of these children will come to Vacation Bible School, and they're raving to go, ready to go for that Sunday. And we go pick them up, and we come empty-handed so many times because the people say no. To summer school, yes. To church, we still have that fanaticism. They're fanatics. And Lord, help us come September. Lord, give us that station.
Amen.
Amen. Now, open your Bible to John chapter 9, and I do not think that I'll keep you long. And when I say that in church, they say, "Oh." But I'm going to try in English, so you can rest assured that I might just stick to my words. Yeah, I won't hold you very long. In John chapter 9, verse 1 says this way, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" Let's bow for our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do ask thy help. I do ask thy grace and thy hand upon thy servant as I endeavor to bring a thought and a challenge to these good people. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation. And our Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here we see something very clear and something so simple. The Lord Jesus, as he went about in his earthly ministry, came by a man, and he took notice of him. And of course, his blindness, make him take notice of him. He was blind from his birth. As we think of the blind man, we can't but conclude that for some special reason, the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ bring again and again cases like this. A man with palsy, a person afflicted with demons, and all kinds of afflictions. But I understand that among the afflictions, the Lord did more restoring of the blind than almost any other sanidades, any other healings. So It certainly must be. I believe that we have to conclude that, Isaiah said, that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We grope as if we have no eyes, stumbling at noonday as in the night. And that is the characterization of people in general. Yeah. There is not one person born to man on this earth that is not born blind. And he might have a good pair of eyes and he might have a 20/20 vision, but spiritually blind as a bat. Not only blind, but he's dead in sin and trespasses. And if that person would happen to slip away from this present world without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, his soul would end directly in hell in no time. And those are irrefutable facts of the Holy Bible.
Amen.
There's a case in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 25, of another blind person that was brought to the Lord, and they besought him to restore his sight. And it's a little amazing how the Lord would do things different ways to different people. We kind of have the idea that things have to be done just one way. But the Lord does things the way he pleases.
Amen.
Because he is Lord.
Amen.
He's done everything and he can do anything whenever he wants to. And instead of just saying, be ye healed, your sight be restored, it says that he took him by the hand and led him outside the city. And then he spit in his eyes. And then he put his hand on him, and his eyesight was restored. Isn't that marvelous? Now, we have a different case right here in John chapter 9. Evidently, John's the only one that mentioned this particular a miracle. Jesus was passing. This man hadn't heard of Jesus. This man didn't seek Jesus. It was Jesus passing by. And he saw the man.
Amen.
And my concern tonight is, how is our vision? Are we seeing men about us groping, just reaching out, really not knowing what they're doing, where they're going, not understanding the complexities of life, and just running in derision and confusion, just clamoring out for some light, for some help, for some guidance, and yet we pass on. And they're all about us.
Right.
So my question tonight is, how good is our vision? How great our compassion? We see it in our precious Master, in our Lord, perfect vision.
Amen.
He wouldn't pass up an opportunity, even if it was late at night or early in the morning. If it was past time of meal, he had a work to do. And as he passed, he saw a blind man. I can't help but ask, have you looked upon the beauties of nature today? Last night, as I took out my wife for a little while, for a cup of coffee, piece of pie. I still do that from time to time. I made her stand to where she could see the moon. Beautiful. Not a full moon. It sure was beautiful. Beautiful location. Isn't it wonderful to just be able to contemplate the beauties of nature?
Amen.
Week before last, I was in Monterey, and oh, those mountains over there just fascinate me. They just captivate. I could just be around them all day long, and I can just read the majesty of God written all over those beauties of nature. And we thank God for our eyesight. I've had my granddaughter. Yes, I'm grandpa too. One. A beautiful 5-year-old girl. Have had her for all week. They'll take her away tomorrow. So, grandpapa is a little sad. But, I was thinking today, isn't it wonderful that I can see her face, that I can see her expressions, that I can enjoy my grandchild. What if I didn't have my youngest son, Caleb, slash his thumb a week ago. They made a skin graft. I was most of the day in the hospital with him today. He's not interned in the hospital, but I mean, I took him and had a long wait, and then they said skin graft didn't take, so they peeled it off and said, we're just going to have to leave it like that, let it heal by itself. But so I was in the hospital. I went to a room there, and then the door shut, and there was no light whatsoever. And thinking on this passage, I was thinking of this passage already. I purposely didn't open the door and stay there for a good while. And with my eyes open, I tried to make out what was in there. There was absolutely nothing I could detect, nothing. And I purposely stay there for a while to thank God for vision.
Amen.
Yes, we need to be thankful that we can see into the eyes, into the faces of our loved ones. And we thank God for that. But we're thinking here of one who did not have the privilege that we have of beholding the beautiful until he met the Savior.
Amen.
So, in a sense, here we see a beautiful chapter of the unveiling of the beauties, and only by Christ, the altogether lovely. And I'm sure that this man, when his eyesight was restored, got a glimpse of the most beautiful person ever, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to see Jesus.
Amen.
We might just boast about having good eyesight. I used to, until about 5 years ago. I used to take out my little New Testament, and by the light of the moon, I say, I can read anything, my little New Testament, without any eyeglasses. I shouldn't have said that. 6 months later, I didn't have 20/20 anymore. But it's a shame that we, in our churches, have people affected by blindness. Have a good 20/20 vision, or have a good set of glasses, eyeglasses, but yet in a spiritual sense, afflicted by blindness. A church member that is not a soul winner is afflicted by blindness.
Amen.
Because all around us are people that, if not with articulating it with their mouth, by the knowledge we have of the spiritual condition of the people around us, they are, in a sense, in their souls, clamoring for someone to help them. Does anyone care? Does anyone feel? But evidently, not only afflicted by blindness, by dumbness. We do not hear the cries. We do not see the need. As Jesus passed by, he saw. And the man had been blind from birth. Many, of course, had passed by the man. None could do anything for him, and possibly didn't care to do anything for him. Even the disciples, where was their compassion? What we see rather from the disciple is judgment. Huh, blind. Oh, from his birth? Aha. Uh-huh. Who sinned? He or his parents? Where's the compassion?
Amen.
Where's the vision? It's so sad that this world continued to sink to damnation because of the blindness of the people of God. Brother Kincaid said a mouthful when he said, if somebody cannot testify here at home, he has no business nowhere else in the world.
Right.
We can't say we care for the Chinaman or the Filipino, but we don't care to go and testify to our neighbor across the street.
Right.
He saw a man. How many do we come across every day? And how about our vision and our compassion for them? In this missionary conference, I would suppose that the bottom line is to stir our hearts to soul winning.
Amen.
Here at home and abroad.
Amen.
Because that's the Great Commission. That's Christ's charge to every believer. And instead of being judgmental and say, well, I guess that's what he wants, let him at it. Or that's what he deserves. Or that's what he believes. Where is our compassion? Where is our vision? Not only of his momentary, immediate, temporal need, but what about our vision of the future for a soul that'll slip out of this world without Christ, without God, without hope? Do we have a vision? Many others passed by this man, but as if he wouldn't be there. They did not see him. They did not attend to his need. This man's blindness, of course, was known
by God. And it was permitted by the all-wise, all-sovereign God. It was allowed by him that his glory, through this miracle of mercy and power, might be demonstrated. And certainly, it will be debatable why God permits suffering, and there are those that would say God wouldn't do such a thing. But we're not God.
Right.
And if we don't understand it, that's too bad. And if you just take it in stride by faith, good for you.
Amen.
What we don't understand here, it'll be explained to us over there, and we'll be delighted to death.
Amen.
Some things we just do not need to know.
Right.
And the Lord knows better. And he puts it behind the veil that we might be tested in our faith. Here the Lord worked a double miracle. A double miracle. And I do have to say that I do lament those tremendous efforts of seeking the throngs to come for healing purposes. I understand that the Lord did it miraculous, but he was the Lord.
Amen.
It was needed.
Amen.
He was opening up the way. And now we have the Holy Spirit power. We have the holy written word of God.
Amen.
And we have the testimony of the power of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Of 20 centuries. And with miracles or without miracles, he is God.
Amen.
And Jesus is his son.
Amen.
We ought to be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now the Lord went ahead and made a double miracle. The restoring of his eyesight and then the healing of his soul.
Amen.
You would read the rest of the portion of scripture here. You will see that the Lord sped on the ground, and he made some lodo, soquete, clay, and he put it on his eye. Then said, go to Shiloh. Is that the way? Shalom. And wash the clay away. And the man did so. Now, we must understand that this altogether lovely, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus, he became lowly for our sake. And what he did, not only sped on the ground, but he stooped on the ground again. He had done that over and over again. Once, when a woman caught in the act of adultery was brought before him, he stooped to the ground and wrote with his finger. And it seems to me that there's a connotation here, a relation here, every time he bowed down because he, of his own will, was made lowly to identify with. But then he went as low as to the ground itself when it had to do with man to remind him that it was his hand many years before and out of the dust of the earth that he formed man. And he wanted to demonstrate that he was the one. It's lovely here when he did win to wash himself and he started to see. I can imagine the pandemonium. And they say, what happened? What happened?
Amen.
And he said, amen. Amen. He did it. Where is he? And some others said, could this be him? It's a likeness to him. But later on, we see him answer, I am.
Amen.
I am the one that at the beginning, from the dust of the earth, formed you to my glory. But man was snatched away by the hand of the evil one and has humanity in his clutches. And there's no hope for man. Not until he wrestles those willing souls that believe that he is the Son of God. They can be rescued from the
Amen.
Clutches of the devil.
Amen.
And they can be healed from their blindness. And they can be healed from the consequences of eternal death. It is he. Could it be him? Another said, it sure must be him or someone like him. But in a little while, in person, he answered, I am.
Amen.
And that's why he spat on the ground. He wrote on the ground to identify those persons as the creation and he as the creator. And because he is the creator, he is together with the Father one. And he can do all things because he is God. So here we have a great truth. I am the light of the world. All persons will grope in darkness. I don't care how saturated they are with religion, whether Catholic or Protestant or evangelical. It doesn't matter. Blind as a bat. Blind. Blindness is equivalent in scripture to ignorance. Blindness. Darkness is symbolic of sin. And that's the description of man. Walking as if they have no eyes. Stumbling in broad daylight as if it were night. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 again gives one of the most descriptive forms of a man without Christ. Wretched, verse 17, 3:17 Revelation. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I don't care how much they boast. I don't care how many degrees. I don't care how much of a millionaire. I don't care how popular. I don't care how famous. I don't care if he's a star, sports. All I know is that all of these high-ranking movie stars are dropping off like dominoes as of late. And all of this football, baseball, and all kind of sports stars are dropping like mastics after drugs. I don't care how famous. I don't care if they say, I'm number one. That number one doesn't last very long.
That's right.
There's only one number one from beginning to end.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And he said, I am the light of the world. And I have come to do the work that the Father has sent me to do. And I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. It was day while he was here. He's gone back to the Father. And of course, he has left the light in those that believe. We are, he declared to his disciples. You are the light of the world. We might be the reproach. We might be ridiculed. We might be called all kinds of names, big and small, and all that's in between. But one of these days, this world would know that those they call square, radical, fanatical, right, fundamentalist, religious, pious, whatever. They'll find out. They were, in fact, a lighted torch in the world.
Right.
And without them, this world would have folded up a long time ago. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his church, they'll realize in what steep darkness this world really is. And they'll come to realize it. And the light of the world is taken away. But while there's still time, while evening comes and the sun's about to go down, we must work the works that he sent us to do.
Amen.
Because night comes and there'll be no man that can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But he has gone and he has left us in his stead. And while we're in the world still has some light.
Amen.
We might not be recognized. We might not be mentioned in no newspaper. We don't have to be. We don't have to come out necessarily on radio. Nobody has to honor us as distinguished persons. We simply need to go on lighting the path for those that are groping in this sin-sick world. The devil is the father and inventor of blindness. We're living in the end time, where in effect, the blindness is similar to that came upon the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were stricken with blindness. This whole world that gropes around without Christ, whirl around, is like the Syrian army that all of a sudden also was stricken with blindness and did not know what they were doing. Let me give you one more thought. And over there in Isaiah, it speaks about the watchman. In Isaiah 56:10, His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. I wonder if that's not a description that characterizes the church at the end time. As a whole, slumbering to sleep. We are the watchmen. The people out there should have a little more confidence and respect in the church of Christ if we would live up to our name.
Amen.
And they would be calling out, watchmen, what of the night? What of the night? How much time do we have? But what's the watchman doing? Working. Working overtime. Working 2-3 jobs. Just working away. Hardly enough time to come for worship. Much less time to go out soul-winning. Watchman! What kind of a watchman are you? What good would a blind watchman do to a city? Ladies, could you imagine if you were blind and you have to thread a needle or work on the stove, or the man had to drive his car if he was blind? I certainly wouldn't want to ride in that car. One of these days, they'll arise and accuse us. Watchman! Watchman! Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that they're blind, ignorant, dumb? Don't forget that the most astonishing and undeniable fact is that men walk in darkness. And unless there's light, there's no hope for men. God help us to shine.
Amen.